I read these words to you last week, and they were good, and I'm going to read them again. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me, if you seek me with all your heart. Words of the prophet Jeremiah from chapter 29 of his book. Last Sunday, I introduced Parker Palmer's notion of functional atheism, or functional atheist. Remember what that was? It's a functional atheist. Huh? Functional atheist is a believer who behaves as though God isn't doing anything, as though God isn't in our midst, as though Jeremiah's great words, which I have just read, are meant for somebody else. I think we came to an agreement last week at church that we do not want to be functional atheists. Is that right? Or did I get that wrong? Was that correct?
Yes.
All right, we don't want to be that. This morning I want to talk about the other side of the coin. That is, believers, real believers, believe that God is doing something, right? God is active in our midst. God is doing something. That is, God is doing God's work. Believers, I think, also need to believe that they've got their part to do too. That is, God's got his work cut out for him. And we have, by God's gracious gift, our work cut out for us too. This would seem to be a propitious moment to mention a good old Bible word, covenant. Remember the word covenant? You learned that word about 100 years ago in Sunday school. Covenant? What's a covenant? A binding promise. That's very good. I would have said a legal contract, but I like binding promise a lot better. The Hebrew scriptures are full of the word covenant, and the Christian too. That is, the God of the Jews and the Christians is a covenant God. This is my covenant that I will establish, says the God of Abraham and Moses, Isaiah and the prophets, and the God of Jesus Christ. This is the new what in my blood? Jesus said. This is the new covenant in my blood, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Good Bible word, covenant. Now, a covenant is a promise. It is a legal agreement between God and his people. And the legalese, the legal language, goes precisely like this. I am your God, and you will be my people. You will do this, this, and this. And I will be faithful to you. That's the way the language always goes. There's no bartering. This is not let's make a deal God style, right? This is the Lord God's doing. And it's critical to remember that because people are always trying to strike a bargain with God, right? Have you ever done that? If you ever said, oh God, if you'll do this for me, I promise that I will. Just do it, Lord, and I'll do this, right? You've ever done that? That's not a covenant. That's not the deal. We have to remember that God is God and that we are the sheep of God's pasture. Wonderfully, God is always faithful to the covenant that God establishes. Not quite so wonderfully, God's people are faithful too after their own fashion. And that's something I would like for us to think about this morning. Now, what is the work of the church? I'm asking a lot of questions, and they're not really rhetorical. I know it's hard to answer in church. What is the work of the church? It's simple. I mean, this is not a trick question. The work of the church, I think, is to be the body of Christ in the world and for the world. Simple enough, right? To be the body of Christ in the world and for the world. Messengers of the kingdom, which was and which is and which will be forevermore. That's kind of a mouthful. I'd like to break it down in the simplest terms. And in your bulletin, you're going to find on the back of your sermon notes or in the front of your sermon notes a little piece called My Church. Can you find that? I can almost see it projected on the screen, which would be right here if we had that going. My Church. Can you find that? I'd like for you to take a minute and read that silently to yourself. My Church. Take a moment and read it yourself. You might agree, you might not. Now, whether or not you buy it, let's read it together. My church. My church is composed of people like me. With God's grace, we make it what it is. It will be friendly if I am friendly. Its pews will be filled if I fill them. It will do great work if I work. It will make generous gifts to many causes if I am a generous giver. It will bring other people into its worship and fellowship if I bring them. My church will be a church of loyalty and love, of fearlessness and faith, a church with a noble spirit, if I, who make it what it is, am filled with those things. Therefore, with the help of God, I shall dedicate myself to the task of being all the things I want my church to be. What do you think? It's all right? You know what the problem with that piece is? You know what the problem is? It's one little word. What's the devil in the works? One word. If. My church will be if I am. The pews will be filled if I bring people. The church will make generous gifts if I am generous with my gifts. It will be friendly if I wear a name tag. You know. My church is a reflection of me. It's a reflection of us. And that's a lot of responsibility. It's also an enormous honor when you think of it that Jesus Christ has entrusted his church to people like you and me. And remember those wonderful words of Teresa of Avila, St. Teresa, one of my heroes. Christ has no hands but your hands. No feet but your feet. No heart for compassion in the world but your heart. So the church always has a human face. The church is always a reflection of you and me. And that's exciting and kind of terrifying. Would you go to a church full of people just like you? I'm not sure I would. People like me. You know? Parker Palmer, who came up with the functional atheist line, has another great line about the church. And he says, the first rule of the church community is, church is where you'll find sitting next to you the very last person you would ever want to sit next to. And rule number two of church community is, when that person moves away, another person will immediately come to take her place. Right. And then there's the body. We're not a collection of individuals, or so Scripture says, but we are knit together as the body of Christ. It even seems that way some of the time. You know the old saying, nobody is as stupid as all of us put together? Do you ever go to a meeting and feel that way? Feels that way sometimes, doesn't it? The body of Christ. If you were to go shopping for a church, and believe me, people do shop for a church, don't they? Would you choose Fisk Memorial United Methodist Church as your church? Why would you? Why would you? That's not a judgment. Why? What makes us special? What would be lost in this community if Fisk Memorial United Methodist Church were no longer here? You may not know it, but something's happening at my church, at our church. We're beginning to rethink who we are and who we'd like to be as a church, as Christ's body in the world. We're asking questions now about what do we do well? What could we do better? What is it that we're passionate about as disciples of Jesus Christ? And what kind of church would we like to become in 1 year, in 5 years, 10 years from now? One thing we are certain, God is here. And we know that God will do God's part. But we are here too. May we do our part as well. Let's pray. Oh Lord, this is an exciting time for us. It's a time with a lot of challenges, money challenges and energy challenges, a bit of uncertainty as we look to move forward. But you are here. You are here. And you have chosen to be among us. Open our hearts, O Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us energy and passion, and lead us forward to the great day that is coming. In the name of Christ Jesus, we offer our prayers. Amen.